Entitled, perhaps it is, but today is a Donnie Football Friday. And man, do we have some big games on tap this weekend. With the Steelers on a bye, it really starts with the college game. Donnie, that is an unbelievable Donnie Football Friday jersey. Tell us the story behind it.
Cam Hayward, Ohio State jersey. Wow. This baby was hard to find.
Wow.
Because obviously both Bosas also wore 97, and they wore it more recently than what Cam Hayward did. But I have acquired a couple of Ohio State jerseys because I was a diehard. I was a diehard Ohio State fan growing up.
Why? Did the helmet, the logo, the aura, what attracted you? Because I was a Michigan fan growing up for no reason in Buffalo other than I loved those uniforms and the atmosphere on their games on TV.
A lot of people assumed it was when Terrell Pryor went there in 2008 because, yeah, you know, he's from my general area. He's from Westmoreland County, one of the great high school athletes the greatest high school athlete I've ever seen. But it was before that. It was like early elementary school. Like I was 6 or 7 years old. Every other kid, it was Pitt, Penn State, WVU. You had some Notre Dames in there.
Of course.
I don't want to like any of those teams.
You wanted your own team.
Like I mean, I'm a Pitt fan now, but I mean, I think always deep down, like I'll be rooting for Ohio State in pretty much any game they play in.
Very interesting. Limits, how are you today? What do you think of Donnie's story?
His
Ohio State origin story.
Donnie wanted to be different. I give him credit for going out on a limb and trying to be different than everybody else.
Is there a team outside of, you know, a 100-mile radius here that you fell in love with as a kid?
I really liked a couple different players. I liked the Saints because of Drew Brees, and I liked the Vikings because of Adrian Peterson.
Wow.
So I had an Adrian Peterson jersey that somebody got me, probably like a $30 jersey from Kohl's that I would wear, and it was the season where he ran for 2,000 yards and just barely, what was he, 9 yards short,
yes,
of Eric Dickerson's record. So I was wearing my Adrian Peterson jersey for that, and those are the two that mainly caught my eye.
Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We got a lot happening. Ray Fittipaldo at 11. Before we get to college football, we got to get to last night's game because everything that happens in the AFC has ramifications for the Steelers, and this sure did. Houston stinks right now. I mean, they just haven't looked right. And I know C.J. Stroud's weapons were compromised last night. They don't look right, Donnie. And then there's the Jets and the Garrett Wilson catch. And I suppose we should start there. I hate to use hyperbole at the top of the show, but that's one of the greatest catches I've ever seen. Is it better than the Beckham catch? What's the greatest catch you've ever seen?
Well, I still think one of the greatest catches I've ever seen was actually the Troy Polamalu interception against the Chargers where he scooped it off the ground.
Without a doubt.
I mean, that one last night was up there. And it also sparked some conversation because now it gets down to, well, his shin was down. The knee went out of bounds. He only had 1 foot down.
By rule.
And then you go back to Monday night and people are like, well, George Pickens tapped the same foot twice.
Oh, come on. Now, Pickens himself said the NFL has vendettas. No, it doesn't. It has rules. 1 foot, twice, not a catch. Both feet in, catch. Knee or shin in, catch. The rules are very simple, Donnie. We might not like the rules. George Pickens might not like the rules, but actually, and this is unusual for the NFL, the rules couldn't be clearer.
Yeah, you are correct that it's both feet and not just 1 foot twice, or else I think they would specify that you know, you could do that. Did you also see last night there was a still shot of Garrett Wilson when he went up for the catch and it looked awfully similar to the Michael Jordan logo?
Yes, that was tremendous. This one, you know, I think of Beckham's catch. I think of David Tyree. That's the greatest catch I've ever seen. Would I be saying that if it was a November game against the Patriots? Probably not. So I'm probably including the stakes of the Super Bowl. But he also made it a one-handed catch with the ball pressed against the defender's helmet,
mm-hmm,
and came down with it somehow miraculously. So this is one. I'll just say one of the top five. I think the Beckham catch was better, and I'll tell you why. Limits. Because he reached back and the ball was past him. And he reached back with one hand and grabbed it by the nose of the football closest to him, which means that most of the football was gone. He just like snagged it by the nose out of the air. I rate Beckham's catch better than this one, but not by much.
Well, Andy was interfered with on that catch too.
So, Beckham.
Yes, yeah. Beckham. The level of difficulty to make that grab, just all time. So I still put that one as the greatest catch that I've ever seen, but this is a top five moment with, I mean, Garrett Wilson, the skill set. And the Michael Jordan thing, I saw that too last night, Donnie. That just gives it even more hyperbole you could put around it. It was a great grab.
I was going to bring up greatest catches in Steelers history, but I'm pretty sure that one that Franco pulled off the ground would probably be an easy number one. Yes?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good one. I mean,
I think that one works.
That Swan guy had a couple good ones.
He did.
So Santonio Holmes had a nice one in a pretty
not
big
bad,
game.
Antonio
not bad.
Brown off his helmet. Remember that grab? He pinned the ball next to the helmet.
I don't know. Is the Franco Ravens one more a play than a catch, though? Is the Santonio play the greatest catch in Steelers history? That's a good question, isn't it?
Well, I mean, Franco caught the ball.
Yeah.
And he scooped it off the ground and ran it in.
Off the ground?
No, you know, above the ground, but off the ground.
Caught out of the air.
Phrase, yes. But the actual physical act of the catch, is that the greatest catch in Steelers history?
Do we think it should count since he clearly wasn't the intended receiver?
Absolutely, yeah. I think so. A catch is a catch.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the easy choice.
It's the greatest play.
Yeah.
Although there's also an argument that the James Harrison play was the greatest play. In fact, I think I had a hot take with you a month ago that I think that play was greater. I'm sorry, Donnie. I've gone overboard
here. The Immaculate Reception was rated the greatest play in NFL history during the 100-year anniversary celebration.
Well, that was very nice of them, and it was one of two. It's that and the James Harrison play, I think, are the two greatest plays in NFL history.
It actually frustrates me that sometimes you'll see those rankings of like big, let's just say Super Bowl plays.
Yeah.
You'll almost always see the Malcolm Butler play over the James Harrison play. I don't understand it. Like, okay, one did win them the game officially.
Yeah.
The guy made one play in the end zone. The other one was the end of the first half. It was a 100-yard interception return for a touchdown.
That you could make a movie out of.
And it was also done by the guy that won Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah. Well, how is that relevant?
I just think that's a little, like, footnote that...
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's certainly a footnote, an important one at that, Donnie. But the physical act of the catch itself, I think the Butler play was better, but the catch was better. It was unbelievable. But the play with James Harrison was a greater play.
No doubt about it. I mean, the Butler one was somebody who you barely heard of, what, their third corner, who ended up getting benched in the next Super Bowl, making a huge play. And it's all situational because it ended the game compared to Harrison. But I agree, Joe. I think that Harrison interception is a better play than Malcolm Butler, who just jumped the route. There wasn't any return. It didn't go for a touchdown. The significance is what heightens it. But in terms of a total play with no other caveats around it, James Harrison's was better.
All right. Now that we've landed here on a Donnie Football Friday, let's dive in then. Let's lean into this before we get to the college games. Let's have some cojones out here, gentlemen. The greatest catch in Steelers history is what? Donnie?
It has to be the Immaculate Reception.
I'm going to say Santonio Holmes.
I'm going to say Immaculate Reception.
Fair enough. And we're delineating, again, the physical act of the catch to the play overall. Like, nobody would call James Harrison's interception the greatest actual catch in Steelers history, right? Although it was a great one.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're saying the greatest catch was Franco's scoop off the ground.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to say Santonio. And here's a take that's even hotter. I can feel flames rising around me. I think the throw was unbelievable, but I think that the throw gets so much attention that the catch gets less. I honestly do. Go back and watch that catch. I don't know if it gets enough adulation, Donnie.
I feel like, and I might be wrong here because I was like a young teen when that game took place, but I felt like at first it was the catch and nobody talked a ton about the throw.
Yeah.
And then it kind of boomeranged to, well, the throw was unbelievable. It was a nice catch, but the throw was unbelievable. And then it's maybe we're trying to swing it back now where it's, okay, we got to appreciate
it. I think it swung back.
One hell of
like
a catch.
Like when I would talk to people like Bruce Arians, he'd be like, hell of a catch, but man, that throw. And then go on for an hour on the throw. I'm not taking anything away from the throw. It's an all-time throw. I think the catch was even better. I'm looking at it right now. Do you know which Pittsburgh media personality was standing right there and is in a lot of the shots of the catch?
Is it Ron?
Tim Benz.
It's Benz, yeah. It is. It's Benzie. He's in there. Can you believe that he's in there, Donnie?
I knew the answer to that like midway through your question.
All right. Then here's – so you guys have the Franco actual catch. I've got Santonio. I mean, Lynn Swann had some pretty good catches in those Super Bowls. Here's another hot take for you. The one that wasn't the bobble. Like we all remember the deflection, whatever you want to call it, deflected the ball to himself over Mark Washington. Poor Mark Washington, by the way. The only reason anybody knows who he is from NFL history is that Lynn Swann absolutely tortured him in that game. I thought the second one was better, where he appeared in midair to go out of bounds and come back inbounds. I think that's up there as one of the five greatest catches.
I think you could probably put both in the top five.
Antonio made a couple good ones, too, as I recall.
Yeah, I mean, he mentioned the helmet catch. That came in a playoff game, and that was on the game-winning drive against the Ravens.
That's got to be top five, the helmet.
That play.
Here's the only thing, though, is wasn't that ball in his hands, and then he bobbled it up to his helmet and stuck against his helmet? Am I remembering that right, Donnie? Let's go back and look at the play.
I think you are.
Let's have a video review of that play. What were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to bring up on that play, like the particular circumstance. It's AFC divisional game.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tied game against the Ravens. It was third and, I think, 19.
Third and forever.
And Ben just whizzed one about 60 yards in the air.
It's probably, now that you mention this, one of the most underrated plays in the history of the franchise. Because there's no reason, the odds, even with great players on your team, we didn't know Antonio was great yet. The odds of converting that with anybody in NFL history are like, what, 5%? A third and 19 against that defense? And Ben just decided to wing it. I think Arians, I don't remember the story of that exact play, whether Arians said, called in a play and Ben said, screw it, I'm just winging it down the field.
But to a rookie.
To a rookie who did that. If that doesn't happen, they probably don't get to the Super Bowl, or maybe. Don't get to the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, I mean, the significance out of that play, I would agree that it goes under the radar.
I don't know why we're here, but we're here. So why don't we take a call or two on this? In your humble opinion out there, the greatest catch in Steelers history, coming off the Garrett Wilson thing last night, 412-928-9370. Here's the greatest catches in NFL history. You ready for this? By one person's ranking at Athlon Sports. Do you like that website, Donnie?
Oh, I go to it all the time.
I refer to it often and have tremendous respect for them. I feel like I jinxed myself with something I said before the show, and now I have to go out to Crowley and take it back. Did you ever see Freaky Friday?
I've seen the one with Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan.
That's the one.
Okay.
Yeah, was there a remake?
I thought that was the remake.
Oh, that was a remake of an original Freaky Friday Limits?
There's a song, Freaky Friday, too, by Chris Brown.
Did you see the movie?
No.
Well, at the beginning, there's a hex put on them, and that's why the mom and the daughter switch, you know, bodies and personalities.
Yeah, same concept as the song.
Yeah. I feel like I put a hex on this show early on with something I said to Crowley. So here's the thing. I need to find Crowley. Is he still in the building?
He might be.
I've got to find him and undo this. Remember how much time they spent in that movie trying to find the lady who did the hex?
By the way, the original was 1976.
I had no idea. Now, that's an example. Usually, I rail against remaking movies. The second one was way better than the first one, Donnie. Would you agree with that?
I've never seen the original, but I would have to agree, I guess, by default.
Yeah, neither have I come to think of it. But it must be, right? It couldn't have been as good. That's when Lindsay Lohan was good, right? When she was stable, right?
Yes.
Great. I thought she should have won an Academy Award
and
myself.
And Jamie Lee Curtis is an all-timer.
She really is. She's great. Here's the greatest catches of all time. Are you ready for this, Donnie? Antonio Freeman's Monday Night Football catch. Remember
great
that one?
Great catch, yeah. He did what?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. That's only 10th. The Hail Mary. The original Hail Mary. There was nothing special about the catch. It was Roger Staubach to Drew Pearson.
Who probably pushed off on the play.
May have. I thought that's what the flag was about. I can't even talk today. I'm telling you, the jinx is real. And now it's in my head. I've got to find Crowley at this break. But it was the original Hail Mary. So it's one of the greatest, most significant catches of all time because it was immediately labeled the Hail Mary. Why did the Hail Mary come about? Because Staubach claimed he said one on the play. He claimed that he said the prayer. That's why. You didn't know that, did you, Limits? A little bit of history for you by Grandpa Joe.
I figured, but I thank you for confirming.
Keenan McCardle, one-hand diving catch. I don't care about that. Santonio Holmes, the seventh greatest catch of all time, they say, for any team. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Seventh greatest? It's good, but it's a little disappointing.
Yeah, I thought it would be higher. That's why I thought you would have more disappointment with that.
Well, now that you think of it, I am disappointed in that because it's behind the catch by Dwight Clark. I mean, he jumped for the ball. Was it that great of a catch? Is that an overrated play in NFL history?
I think so. It was just the substance of what it meant for San Francisco, and I guess the NFL just makes it so good.
This guy from Athlons is confusing significance with actual athletic catch.
That's where I actually would go with the throw being better.
The
throw by Montana, absolutely better.
I agree on that one. So, yes, Santonio Holmes is getting ripped off. The catch two, which is T.O., catches that one.
Against the Packers.
Yeah, in the playoffs and gets absolutely crushed. Santonio's was better, I'm sorry. See what I mean? This was my original point, was that the Santonio catch is actually like moving down the rankings in history.
Now becoming underrated.
Yes, it's not exactly. Go back and watch what he did on the play. I still don't know how he got both feet in and the ball was way up on his fingertips. Oh, and it was just to win the Super Bowl. How is that not higher than this?
And if you remember, they basically ran the same play the play before that.
He dropped it.
Yeah, it went through his hands.
Yes, I know that story. Santonio Holmes was at Ross Park Mall one night doing stuff 10 years later, whatever. And I met him there and did a story about how Heath Miller came to him in the huddle after the drop and said, "We're coming right back to you." Now, I don't know how Heath knew that because it looked like Santonio was Ben's fifth option or something on the play. Mm-hmm. Or maybe Ben was just looking people off and knew he was going there the whole time. That part of the story, I don't know. But, man, number seven, that's a little rough there, Limits. And I feel hurt by that. Lynn Swann, number four all time. 53-yard acrobatic catch where he jumped higher than Mel Renfro, tipped the pass, and caught it in midair. Are we sure that was Mel Renfro? I think he even got that wrong here. What's going on?
You're
going
to call
here?
This guy out.
Number three is Odell Beckham becomes a Madden cover. That's the number three catch of all time. Number two is Justin Jefferson's one-handed catch in Buffalo.
That was a great catch.
Limits?
On, what was it, 4th and 20 something?
Yeah, I'm looking at that thing right now. Holy horse follicles. I mean, it's tough not to put that one in here. In terms of sheer athleticism, that's a top five catch of all time. Last night's belongs, I think, in the top 5 to 10 catches ever. And number one is the same as mine, David Tyree, the helmet catch. Thoughts, Donnie?
The Tyree one, I think, should be very high because you think of significance of that game, what it led to. I mean, that was on the game-winning drive from the Giants that took down an undefeated Patriots team. What's going on
here? Stifled yawn
here
from
we
Limits. We're boring him again. We bore him every day. I know a stifled yawn when I see one. He's yawning, Donnie, while you speak.
So anytime that Joe sees me like remotely yawn or close to yawn, not like, you know, Donnie.
You know the stifled yawn. We've all done it when we're bored and we don't want to see other people.
We're bored.
We don't want other people to see our yawn. Right, Donnie? You've done that. And so you sort of, the cheeks go out a little and the nose flares a little. And it's a fake yawn. He just committed a fake yawn.
You know, I could be biting my lip. I could be doing, you know, a bunch of anything.
Limits.
But Joe just
that was a fake yawn.
Joe loves to make a big deal out of me.
It was a fake yawn.
Yawning in quotes.
Yes or no? Fake yawn, was it?
Fake yawn. I had to try to throw you off.
There we go.
Oh. And he got you.
Because I know how Joe can get when I yawn.
I'm sorry, Donnie. I interrupted you.
That's okay.
What were you talking about?
The Tyree catch.
Yeah.
Like, the significance of that moment in that game, like, it was on the game-winning drive that eventually knocked off an undefeated team. But the physical catch itself, that whole play,
yeah,
one of the most remarkable. I mean, if you remember, Eli Manning had to break off two or three defenders.
Yes.
And then scramble off to his right and just basically say a prayer.
He got lucky, and he's not a first-ballot Hall of Famer. The throw was lucky. The catch was unbelievable. In fact, he should have been whistled down, in my humble opinion. How do you like that?
You think?
Yeah.
It was pretty close to that. Like, watching the play back.
Maybe not, but it was close. In previous years' rules, when they had that old, I forget how they phrased it, but if you had the in the grasp, he would have been ruled down.
Yeah.
He made a nice play to escape, and then he just threw it up for grabs. The catch, to me, is the play there.
100%.
People on the text line are pointing out the George Pickens catch on Thursday Night Football against the Browns. Remember the one-handed catch that he made?
Yes.
That was a really good one.
You know what else was a great catch? Martavis in a playoff game against
the Bengals.
Cincy.
The somersault.
Yep.
It was sort of also born of he made it way more difficult than it needed to be.
Yeah, because he like tucks it under his leg.
Yes, and caught it like it was like a trick you do with a basketball or something. It was crazy. That was a great catch, though, wasn't it?
It was.
Have we exhausted that topic?
Do you think we've exhausted the topic?
Yes, I do. You look bored. Have we exhausted that topic, Donnie?
I thought we were going to get more into the game, but then we just went off on greatest catches in NFL history.
What game?
From last night.
No, last night's game. We will. I mean, the significance to me is that Houston, which looked like a really good team coming into the season, I think is something less than that. And I think what's happening, Donnie, is there's a bit of a correction happening. I think they got out over their skis a little bit last year. That wasn't an overwhelmingly talented roster, but C.J. Stroud was great. I think they kind of outplayed what they are last year. And this year, they're coming back to reality a little bit. And I think, man, when I look ahead and look at their problems on the offensive line, he was under siege last night. And when you have a line that's that leaky, I don't care who your quarterback is, you're in trouble. I'm not sure they're going to run away with that division, and I don't look at them. They've gone a notch below, maybe replaced by the Steelers, by the way. I still think the elite teams in the AFC to me are Kansas City, obviously. Buffalo, which has surprised me defensively. And just based on talent, roster, expectation, quarterback, I still put Baltimore ahead of the Steelers. But I put the Steelers right there, like an inch behind Baltimore right now on my expectation meter. And Houston is down a notch from all of them. I don't love that team right now.
They certainly don't scare me the way they did coming into the year. I mean, Stroud, you said he was out of sorts last night, 11 of 30, 191.
Eight sacks.
Sacked eight times. I mean, that's, I would guess, I don't have his entire career log pulled up in front of me from rookie year and so far this year. I'm going to guess that's probably his worst overall game as a pro. You brought up the offensive line. Old pal Kendrick Green was on that offensive line last night.
Wasn't he?
He got beat up a few times. Now, he's been a lot better with the Texans than he ever was here, but he got beat up a few times last night. I sometimes wonder
about that. We got a large dose of Kendrick Green. And over there, with a great quarterback, I think some of his flaws have been masked a little bit. But, man, he's still Kendrick Green. And I'll never forget what Ben said a couple of years later. Essentially, you guys saddled me with that in my last year in the league. Are you kidding me? That's paraphrasing what Ben said.
But picturing now the Steelers, if they had to go to Houston, let's say, it was a 4-5 matchup in the AFC wildcard round, I don't fear that the way I did beginning of the season or, hell, even a couple of weeks ago.
Well said. That's exactly how I feel about them. That was alarming. And I think the Steelers could get after them. And now I look at the Jets, and here's how I look at the Jets. Reddick makes a huge difference for them. They have a top-end type of roster. They've got stars on that roster. I still think they're going to struggle to get in because of such a horrendous start But if they do get in, that's the type of team that gets hot. And then the playoffs start, and they go into Kansas City and win a game. Seriously.
That's the old, you don't want to play.
They are a classic, you don't want to play wild card team. But I don't know that they're going to get there. I don't know.
They got to get vintage Rodgers. They got him last night.
In the second half, that offense finally looked like they're supposed to look.
They've gotten good Aaron Rodgers slash great Aaron Rodgers on their two Thursday night games. If you remember, they played the Patriots pretty early in the season. He looked really good. Last night, he was clean, had the three touchdowns, no picks. Both of his top targets had big nights. Devontae Adams finally scored a touchdown. I do think, as funny as it sounds, it's going to come down to him in the end.
And
we also know, like, his history in the playoffs is not great.
Yeah, that's true, too. But they have the kind of weapons, I think, on both sides of the ball that make them scary if they get there. And it makes me look back on that Steeler game. That was a good win to me. That was a good win. They still got guys, the Jets. And they were pretty desperate that night, too. And, man, when we look back at the story of this season, that Beanie Bishop interception at the end of the first half, I don't even think it was a bad throw. I just thought it was a great defensive play. That's one of the that might be the most significant play of the Steelers season so far. It's certainly in the top three.
I brought that up. I think it might have been last week. Do you ever watch the, I think they call them like Steelers yearbooks. It's like the things they'll put on YouTube.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, at the end of the year.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, and like Larry does the narration for it.
Right.
You know, I mean, you can go back and watch the 95
Pump probably
one.
Appears at some point.
Yeah, like you can go back and watch the old 60 Minute Men from 95.
Yeah. Right.
But that's a play that I feel like they would highlight big time in something like that. If the Steelers go on to, you know, maybe not win the Super Bowl, but maybe they make a trip to the divisional or AFC championship game, who knows?
Yeah.
They're going to circle that play and highlight it big time as like, this is a play that was a turning point in the Steelers season. They were
going
to be down at the half. They were,
yes.
They could have been down two scores at the half.
Jets were getting the ball.
A lot of things were not working in their favor, and an undrafted rookie makes the biggest play of his career.
I mean, that game had the earmarks of a disaster. How things can change in just a couple weeks. Russell Wilson looked like, you know, Joe Namath on the Rams in the early parts of that game. Now he looks like Joe Namath in college, you know, just lighting people up. And the Steelers looked awful that night. And that one spark lit something. And here we have it a couple weeks later. Entitled, perhaps it is, but today is a Donnie Football Friday. And man, do we have some big games on tap this weekend. With the Steelers on a bye, it really starts with the college game. Donnie, that is an unbelievable Donnie Football Friday jersey. Tell us the story behind it.
Cam Hayward, Ohio State jersey.
Wow.
This baby was hard to find.
Wow.
Because obviously both Bosas also wore 97, and they wore it more recently than what Cam Hayward did. But I have acquired a couple of Ohio State jerseys because I was a diehard. I was a diehard Ohio State fan growing up.
Why? Did the helmet, the logo, the aura, what attracted you? Because I was a Michigan fan growing up for no reason in Buffalo other than I loved those uniforms and the atmosphere on their games on TV.
A lot of people assumed it was when Terrell Pryor went there in 2008 because,
yeah,
you know, he's from my general area. He's from Westmoreland County, one of the great high school athletes the greatest high school athlete I've ever seen. But it was before that. It was like early elementary school. Like I was 6 or 7 years old. Every other kid, it was Pitt, Penn State, WVU, you had some Notre Dames in there.
Of course.
I don't want to like any of those teams.
You wanted your own team.
Like I mean, I'm a Pitt fan now, but I mean, I think always deep down, like I'll be rooting for Ohio State in pretty much any game they play in.
Very interesting. Limits, how are you today? What do you think of Donnie's story? His Ohio State origin story.
Donnie wanted to be different. I give him credit for going out on a limb and trying to be different than everybody else.
Is there a team outside of, you know, a 100-mile radius here that you fell in love with as a kid?
I really liked a couple different players. I liked the Saints because of Drew Brees. And I like the Vikings because of Adrian Peterson.
Wow.
So I had an Adrian Peterson jersey that somebody got me, probably like a $30 jersey from Kohl's that I would wear. And it was the season where he ran for 2,000 yards and just barely, what was he, 9 yards short
yes.
of Eric Dickerson's record. So I was wearing my Adrian Peterson jersey for that, and those are the two that mainly caught my eye.
Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We got a lot happening. Ray Fittipaldo at 11. Before we get to college football, we got to get to last night's game, because everything that happens in the AFC has ramifications for the Steelers, and this sure did. Houston stinks right now. I mean, they just haven't looked right. And I know C.J. Stroud's weapons were compromised last night. They don't look right, Donnie. And then there's the Jets and the Garrett Wilson catch. And I suppose we should start there. I hate to use hyperbole at the top of the show, but that's one of the greatest catches I've ever seen. Is it better than the Beckham catch? What's the greatest catch you've ever seen?
Well, I still think one of the greatest catches I've ever seen was actually the Troy Polamalu interception against the Chargers, where he scooped it off the ground.
Without a doubt.
I mean, that one last night was up there. And it also sparked some conversation, because now it gets down to, well, his shin was down. The knee went out of bounds. He only had 1 foot down.
By rule.
And then you go back to Monday night, and people are like, well, George Pickens tapped the same foot twice.
Oh, come on. Now, Pickens himself said the NFL has vendettas. No, it doesn't. It has rules. 1 foot, twice, not a catch. Both feet in, catch. Knee or shin in, catch. The rules are very simple, Donnie. We might not like the rules. George Pickens might not like the rules, but actually, and this is unusual for the NFL, the rules couldn't be clearer.
Yeah, you are correct that it's both feet and not just 1 foot twice, or else I think they would specify that you could do that. Did you also see last night there was a still shot of Garrett Wilson when he went up for the catch, and it looked awfully similar to the Michael Jordan logo?
Yes, that was tremendous. This one, you know, I think of Beckham's catch. I think of David Tyree. That's the greatest catch I've ever seen. Would I be saying that if it was a November game against the Patriots? Probably not. So I'm probably including the stakes of the Super Bowl. But he also made it a one-handed catch with the ball pressed against the defender's helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And came down with it somehow miraculously. So this is one, I'll just say one of the top five. I think the Beckham catch was better, and I'll tell you why. Limits. Because he reached back and the ball was past him, and he reached back with one hand and grabbed it by the nose of the football closest to him, which means that most of the football was gone. He just like snagged it by the nose out of the air. I rate Beckham's catch better than this one, but not by much.
Well, Andy was interfered with on that catch, too.
So, Beckham.
Yes, yeah. Beckham. The level of difficulty to make that grab, just all time. So I still put that one as the greatest catch that I've ever seen, but this is a top five moment with, I mean, Garrett Wilson, the skill set. And the Michael Jordan thing, I saw that too last night, Donnie. That just gives it even more hyperbole you could put around it. It was a great grab.
I was going to bring up greatest catches in Steelers history, but I'm pretty sure that one that Franco pulled off the ground would probably be an easy number one. Yes?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good one. I mean,
I think that one works.
That Swan guy had a couple good ones.
He did.
Santonio Holmes had a nice one in a pretty
not
big
bad.
Game.
Not
Antonio
bad.
Brown off his helmet. Remember that grab? He pinned the ball against the helmet.
I don't know. Is the Franco Ravens? One more a play than a catch, though? Is the Santonio play the greatest catch in Steelers history? That's a good question, isn't it?
Well, I mean, Franco caught the ball.
Yeah.
And he scooped it off the ground and ran it in.
Off the ground?
No, you know, above the ground, but off the ground.
Caught out of the air.
Phrase, yes. But the actual physical act of the catch, is that the greatest catch in Steelers history?
Do we think it should count since he clearly wasn't the intended receiver?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think so. A catch is a catch.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the easy choice.
It's the greatest play.
Yeah.
Although there's also an argument that the James Harrison play was the greatest play. In fact, I think I had a hot take with you a month ago that I think that play was greater. I'm sorry, Donnie. I've gone overboard.
The Immaculate Reception was rated the greatest play in NFL history during the 100-year anniversary celebration.
Well, that was very nice of them, and it was one of two. It's that and the James Harrison play, I think, are the two greatest plays in NFL history.
It actually frustrates me that sometimes you'll see those rankings of, like, big, let's just say Super Bowl plays.
Yeah.
You'll almost always see the Malcolm Butler play over the James Harrison play. I don't understand it. Like, okay, one did win them the game officially.
Yeah.
The guy made one play in the end zone. The other one was the end of the first half. It was a 100-yard interception return for
that,
a touchdown.
That you could make a movie out of.
And it was also done by the guy that won Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah. Well, how is that relevant?
I just think that's a little, like, footnote that...
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's certainly a footnote, an important one at that, Donnie. But the physical act of the catch itself, I think the Butler play was better, but the catch was better. It was unbelievable. But the play with James Harrison was a greater play.
No doubt about it. I mean, the Butler one was somebody who you barely heard of, what, their third corner, who ended up getting benched in the next Super Bowl, making a huge play. And it's all situational because it ended the game compared to Harrison. But I agree, Joe. I think that Harrison interception is a better play than Malcolm Butler, who just jumped the route. There wasn't any return. It didn't go for a touchdown. The significance is what heightens it. But in terms of a total play with no other caveats around it, James Harrison's was better.
All right. Now that we've landed here on a Donnie Football Friday, let's dive in then. Let's lean into this before we get to the college games. Let's have some cojones out here, gentlemen. The greatest catch in Steelers history is what? Donnie?
It has to be the Immaculate Reception.
I'm going to say Santonio Holmes.
I'm going to say Immaculate Reception.
Fair enough. And we're delineating, again, the physical act of the catch to the play overall. Like, nobody would call James Harrison's interception the greatest actual catch in Steelers history, right? Although it was a great one.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're saying the greatest catch was Franco's scoop off the ground.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to say Santonio. And here's a take that's even hotter. I can feel flames rising around me. I think the throw was unbelievable, but I think that the throw gets so much attention that the catch gets less. I honestly do. Go back and watch that catch. I don't know if it gets enough adulation, Donnie.
I feel like, and I might be wrong here because I was like a young teen when that game took place, but I felt like at first it was the catch and nobody talked a ton about the throw.
Yeah.
And then it kind of boomeranged to, well, the throw was unbelievable. It was a nice catch, but the throw was unbelievable. And then it's maybe we're trying to swing it back now where it's, okay, we got to appreciate
it. I think it swung back.
One hell of
like
a catch.
Like when I would talk to people like Bruce Arians, he'd be like, hell of a catch, but man, that throw. And then go on for an hour on the throw. I'm not taking anything away from the throw. It's an all-time throw. I think the catch was even better. I think it was even better. I'm looking at it right now. Do you know which Pittsburgh media personality was standing right there and is in a lot of the shots of the catch?
Is it Ron?
Tim Benz.
It's Benzie.
Benz, yeah.
Yeah. It is. It's Benzie. He's in there. Can you believe that he's in there, Donnie?
I knew the answer to that like midway through your question.
All right. Then here's... So you guys have the Franco actual catch. I've got Santonio. I mean, Lynn Swann had some pretty good catches in those Super Bowls. Here's another hot take for you. The one that wasn't the bobble. Like we all remember the deflection, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Deflected the ball to himself over Mark Washington. Poor Mark Washington, by the way. The only reason anybody knows who he is from NFL history is that Lynn Swann absolutely tortured him in that game. I thought the second one was better, where he appeared in midair to go out of bounds and come back inbounds. I think that's up there as one of the five greatest catches.
I think you could probably put both in the top five.
Antonio made a couple good ones, too, as I recall.
Yeah, I mean, he mentioned the helmet catch. That came in a playoff game, and that was on the game-winning drive
Ravens. That's got to be top five, the helmet.
That play.
Here's the only thing, though, is wasn't that ball in his hands, and then he bobbled it up to his helmet and stuck against his helmet? Am I remembering that right, Donnie? Let's go back and look at the play.
I think you are.
Let's have a video review of that play. What were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to bring up on that play, like the particular circumstance, it's AFC divisional game.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tied game against the Ravens. It was third and, I think, 19.
Third and forever.
And Ben just whizzed one about 60 yards in the air.
It's probably, now that you mention this, one of the most underrated plays in the history of the franchise. Because there's no reason, the odds, even with great players on your team, we didn't know Antonio was great yet. The odds of converting that with anybody in NFL history are like, what, 5%? A third and 19 against that defense? And Ben just decided to wing it. I think Arians, I don't remember the story of that exact play, whether Arians said, called in a play and Ben said, screw it, I'm just winging it down the field.
But to whatever, a rookie.
To a rookie who did that. If that doesn't happen, they probably don't get to the Super Bowl, or maybe don't get to the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, I mean, the significance out of that play, I would agree that it goes under the radar.
I don't know why we're here, but we're here. So why don't we take a call or two on this? In your humble opinion out there, the greatest catch in Steelers history, coming off the Garrett Wilson thing last night, 412-928-9370. Here's the greatest catches in NFL history. You ready for this? By one person's ranking at Athlon Sports. Do you like that website, Donnie?
Oh, I go to it all the time.
I refer to it often and have tremendous respect for them. I feel like I jinxed myself with something I said before the show, and now I have to go out to Crowley and take it back. Did you ever see Freaky Friday?
I've seen the one with Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan.
That's the one.
Okay.
Yeah, was there a remake?
I thought that was the remake.
Oh, that was a remake of an original Freaky Friday Limits?
There's a song, Freaky Friday, too, by Chris Brown.
Did you see the movie?
No.
Well, at the beginning, there's a hex put on them, and that's why the mom and the daughter switch, you know, bodies and personalities.
Yeah, same concept as the song.
Yeah. I feel like I put a hex on this show early on with something I said to Crowley. So here's the thing. I need to find Crowley. Is he still in the building?
He might be.
I've got to find him and undo this. Remember how much time they spent in that movie trying to find the lady who did the hex?
By the way, the original was 1976.
I had no idea. Now, that's an example. Usually, I rail against remaking movies. The second one was way better than the first one, Donnie. Would you agree with that?
I've never seen the original, but I would have to agree, I guess, by default.
Yeah, neither have I, come to think of it. But it must be, right? It couldn't have been as good. That's when Lindsay Lohan was good, right? When she was stable, right?
Yes.
Great. I thought she should have won an Academy Award
and
myself.
And Jamie Lee Curtis is an all-timer.
She really is. She's great. Here's the greatest catches of all time. Are you ready for this, Donnie? Antonio Freeman's Monday Night Football catch. Remember
great
that one?
Great catch, yeah. He did what?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. That's only 10th. The Hail Mary. The original Hail Mary. There was nothing special about the catch. It was Roger Staubach to Drew Pearson.
And who probably pushed off on the play.
May have. I thought that's what the flag was about. I can't even talk today. I'm telling you, the jinx is real. And now it's in my head. I've got to find Crowley at this break. But it was the original Hail Mary. So it's one of the greatest,
yeah,
most significant catches of all time. Because it was immediately labeled the Hail Mary. Why did the Hail Mary come about? Because Staubach claimed he said one on the play. He claimed that he said the prayer. That's why. You didn't know that, did you, Limits? A little bit of history for you by Grandpa Joe.
I figured, but I thank you for confirming.
Keenan McCardle, one-hand diving catch. I don't care about that. Santonio Holmes, the seventh greatest catch of all time, they say, for any team. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Seventh greatest? It's good, but it's a little disappointing.
Yeah, I thought it would be higher. That's why I thought you would have more disappointment with that.
Well, now that you think of it, now that I think of it, I am disappointed in that because it's behind the catch by Dwight Clark. I mean, he jumped for the ball. Was it that great of a catch? Is that an overrated play in NFL history?
I think so. It was just the substance of what it meant for San Francisco, and I guess yeah, the NFL just makes it so good.
This guy from Athlons is confusing significance with actual athletic catch.
That's where I actually would go with the throw being better.
The
throw by Montana, absolutely better.
I agree on that one. So, yes, Santonio Holmes is getting ripped off. The catch two, which is T.O., catches that one.
Against the Packers.
Yeah, in the playoffs, yep, and gets absolutely crushed. Santonio's was better, I'm sorry. See what I mean? This was my original point, was that the Santonio catch is actually like moving down the rankings in history.
Now becoming underrated.
Yes, it's not exactly. Go back and watch what he did on the play. I still don't know how he got both feet in and the ball was way up on his fingertips. Oh, and it was just to win the Super Bowl. How is that not higher than this?
And if you remember, they basically ran the same play the play before that. And
he dropped it.
Yeah, it went through his hands.
Yes, I know that story. Santonio Holmes was at Ross Park Mall one night doing stuff 15, 10 years later, whatever. And I met him there and did a story about how Heath Miller came to him in the huddle after the drop and said, "We're coming right back to you." Now, I don't know how Heath knew that, because it looked like Santonio was Ben's fifth option or something on the play. Mm-hmm. Or maybe Ben was just looking people off and knew he was going there the whole time. That part of the story, I don't know. But, man, number 7, that's a little rough there, limits. And I feel hurt by that. Lynn Swann, number 4 all time. 53-yard acrobatic catch where he jumped higher than Mel Renfro, tipped the pass, and caught it in midair. Are we sure that was Mel Renfro? I think he even got that wrong here. What's going on here?
You're
going
to call this guy out.
Number 3 is Odell Beckham becomes a Madden cover. That's the number 3 catch of all time. Number 2 is Justin Jefferson's one-handed catch in Buffalo.
That was a great catch.
Limits?
On, what was it, 4th and 20 something?
Yeah, I'm looking at that thing right now. Holy horse follicles. I mean, it's tough not to put that one in here. In terms of sheer athleticism, that's a top 5 catch of all time. Last night's belongs, I think, in the top 5 to 10 catches ever. And number 1 is the same as mine, David Tyree, the helmet catch. Thoughts, Donnie?
The Tyree one, I think, should be very high, because you think of significance of that game, what it led to. I mean, that was on the game-winning drive from the Giants that took down an undefeated Patriots team. What's going on here?
Yes, another stifled yawn from Limits. We're boring him again. We bore him every day. I know a stifled yawn when I see one. He's yawning, Donnie, while you speak.
So anytime that Joe sees me like remotely yawn or close to yawn, not like, you know, Donnie.
You know the stifled yawn. We've all done it when we're bored and we don't want to see other people.
We're bored.
We don't want other people to see our yawn. Right, Donnie? You've done that. And so you sort of, the cheeks go out a little and the nose flares a little. And it's a fake yawn. He just committed a fake yawn.
You know, I could be biting my lip. I could be doing, you know, a bunch of anything. But Joe just
that was a fake yawn.
Joe loves to make a big deal out of me.
It was a fake yawn.
Yawning in quotes.
Yes or no? Fake yawn, was it?
Fake yawn. I had to try to throw you off.
There we go.
Oh, and he got you.
Because I know how Joe can get when I yawn.
I'm sorry, Donnie. I interrupted you.
That's okay.
What were you talking about?
The Tyree catch.
Yeah.
Like, the significance of that moment in that game, like, it was on the game-winning drive that eventually knocked off an undefeated team. But the physical catch itself, that whole play, one of the most remarkable. I mean, if you remember, Eli Manning had to break off 2 or 3 defenders.
Yes.
And then scramble off to his right and just basically say a prayer.
He got lucky, and he's not a first-ballot Hall of Famer. The throw was lucky. The catch was unbelievable. In fact, he should have been whistled down, in my humble opinion. How do you like that?
You think?
Yeah.
It was pretty close to that. Like, watching the play back.
Maybe not, but it was close. In previous years' rules, when they had that old, forget how they phrased it, but if you had in the grasp, he would have been ruled down.
Yeah.
He made a nice play to escape, and then he just threw it up for grabs. The catch, to me, is the play there.
100%.
People on the text line are pointing out the George Pickens catch on Thursday Night Football against the Browns. Remember the one-handed catch that he made?
Yes.
That was a really good one.
You know what else was a great catch? Martavis in a playoff game against
the Bengals.
Cincy.
The somersault.
Yep.
It was sort of also born of he made it way more difficult than it needed to be.
Yeah. Because he like tucks it under his leg.
Yes, and caught it like it was like a trick you do with a basketball or something. It was crazy. That was a great catch, though, wasn't it?
It was.
Have we exhausted that topic?
Do you think we've exhausted the
topic?
Yes,
I do. You look bored. Have we exhausted that topic, Donnie?
I thought we were going to get more into the game, but then we just went off on greatest catches in NFL history.
What game?
From last night.
No, last night's game. We will. I mean, the significance to me is that Houston, which looked like a really good team coming into the season, I think is something less than that. And I think what's happening, Donnie, is there's a bit of a correction happening. I think they got out over their skis a little bit last year. That wasn't an overwhelmingly talented roster, but C.J. Stroud was great. I think they kind of outplayed what they are last year. And this year, they're coming back to reality a little bit. And I think, man, when I look ahead and look at their problems on the offensive line, he was under siege last night. And when you have a line that's that leaky, I don't care who your quarterback is, you're in trouble. I'm not sure they're going to run away with that division, and I don't look at them. They've gone a notch below, maybe replaced by the Steelers, by the way. I still think the elite teams in the AFC to me are Kansas City, obviously. Buffalo, which has surprised me defensively, and just based on talent, roster, expectation, quarterback, I still put Baltimore ahead of the Steelers, but I put the Steelers right there, like an inch behind Baltimore right now in my on my expectation meter, and Houston is down a notch from all of them. I don't love that team right now.
They certainly don't scare me the way they did coming into the year. I mean, Stroud, you said he was out of sorts last night, 11 of 30, 191.
Eight sacks.
Sacked eight times. I mean, that's, I would guess, I don't have his entire career log pulled up in front of me from rookie year and so far this year. I'm going to guess that's probably his worst overall game as a pro. You brought up the offensive line. Old pal Kendrick Green was on that offensive
last night. He sure was, wasn't he?
He got beat up a few times. Now, he's been a lot better with the Texans than he ever was here, but
well,
he got beat up a few
sometimes,
times last
I sometimes
night.
Wonder about that. We got a large dose of Kendrick Green. And over there, with a great quarterback, I think some of his flaws have been masked a little bit. But, man, he's to me, he's still Kendrick Green. And I'll never forget what Ben said a couple of years later. Essentially, you guys saddled me with that in my last year in the league. Are you kidding me? That's paraphrasing what Ben said.
But picturing now the Steelers, if they had to go to Houston, let's say, it was a 4-5 matchup, in the AFC wildcard round, I don't fear that the way I did beginning of the season or, hell, even a couple of weeks ago.
Well said. That's exactly how I feel about them. That was alarming. And I think the Steelers could get after them. And now I look at the Jets, and here's how I look at the Jets. Reddick makes a huge difference for them. They have a top-end type of roster. They've got stars on that roster. I still think they're going to struggle to get in because of such a horrendous start. But if they do get in, that's the type of team that gets hot and then the playoffs start and they go into Kansas City and win a game. Seriously.
That's the old, you don't want to play.
They are a classic, you don't want to play wild card team. But I don't know that they're going to get there. I don't know.
They got to get vintage Rodgers. They got him last night.
In the second half, that offense finally looked like they're supposed to look.
They've gotten good Aaron Rodgers / great Aaron Rodgers on their two Thursday night games. If you remember, they played the Patriots pretty early in the season. He looked really good. Last night, he was clean, had the 3 touchdowns, no picks. Both of his top targets had big nights. Devontae Adams finally scored a touchdown. I do think, as funny as it sounds, it's going to come down to him in the end.
And
we also know, like, his history in the playoffs is not great.
Yeah, that's true, too. But they have the kind of weapons, I think, on both sides of the ball that make them scary if they get there. And it makes me look back on that Steeler game. That was a good win to me. That was a good win. They still got guys, the Jets. And they were pretty desperate that night, too. And, man, when we look back at the story of this season, that Beanie Bishop interception at the end of the first half. I don't even think it was a bad throw. I just thought it was a great defensive play. That's one of the that might be the most significant play of the Steelers season so far. It's certainly in the top 3.
I brought that up. I think it might have been last week. Do you ever watch the, I think they call them like Steelers yearbooks. It's like the things they'll put on YouTube.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, at the end of the year.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, and like Larry does the narration for it.
Right.
You know, I mean, you can go back and watch the 95
Pump probably
one.
Appears at some point.
Yeah, the, like you can go back and watch the old 60 Minute Men from 95.
Yeah. Right.
But that's a play that I feel like they would highlight big time in something like that. If the Steelers go on to, you know, maybe not win the Super Bowl, but maybe they make a trip to the divisional or AFC championship game, who knows?
Yeah.
They're going to circle that play and highlight it big time as like, this is a play that was a turning point in the Steelers season. They were
going
to be down at the half. They were,
yes.
They could have been down two scores at the half.
Jets were getting the ball.
A lot of things were not working in their favor, and an undrafted rookie makes the biggest play of his career.
I mean, that game had the earmarks of a disaster. How things can change in just a couple weeks. Russell Wilson looked like, you know, Joe Namath on the Rams in the early parts of that game. Now he looks like Joe Namath in college, you know, just lighting people up. And the Steelers looked awful that night, and that one spark lit something, and here we have it a couple weeks later.